The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh, yeah. Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you the news for the past week, maybe even for the past year. So this is our last show for 2017, but please don't expect it to be the best. The chances of that are very, very low. I hope you all had a good Christmas, and Christmas did come for a lot of people with the resignation of Drexel University professor George Cicerello Mayer. I am probably not pronouncing that right, but a year ago he tweeted that all he wanted for Christmas was white genocide. He also had dozens of other just terrible tweets against white people. He himself looks pretty pasty white here. After a year of harassment by right-wing white supremacist media outlets and internet mobs, after death threats and threats of violence directed against me and my family, my situation has become unsustainable, he wrote in a statement on Facebook, and he has resigned. Which makes me wonder what he's going to be wishing for this year, probably a job. You know, there's another story that I saw while looking into this one here of a CEO. This happened in 2015, but this is when Chick-fil-A made that big to-do where one of the company owners came out against homosexuality or gay marriage or something like that. And this guy comes up and he harasses this poor employee at the window of Chick-fil-A and he videos it. And then tweets it out, or wherever you put it, Facebooks it up. And he was the CFO of a company. They asked him to resign because it just looked so terrible, him just harassing this poor lady. And he wouldn't do it, so they fired him. So he says that now he's living on food stamps. He looks like a born liar, so I don't know if I believe him, but let's hope that that is the case. Should I be hoping for that? Is the Christmas spirit gone already? That might not be the nicest thing to say, actually. I hope he learns the error of his ways and then goes on to live a fine life. How's that? Speaking of people who never learn the error of their ways, Milo Yiannopoulos, this poor guy. You know, I like Milo, but he really is just a... He seems like a very young man, right? He's kind of a troll. And he self-admitted, he is a huge troll, and he loves to kind of just get a rise out of people. And actually, it's Milo Yiannopoulos, so he would take that quite literally, I think. And so Milo Yiannopoulos, in case you don't know, is a gay conservative who is very outspoken, let's say. And he had a deal with Simon & Schuster a couple of years back. Maybe it was just earlier this year. Actually, it wasn't that long ago, but it seems like forever. So Simon & Schuster reneges on the deal because the leftists came out with some really terrible accusations against Milo. And this is when they were when the left had this big thing to kind of get rid of a lot of the right-wing pundits. And Milo is one of these people that they try to stop speaking at colleges and stuff like that. So what Milo does is he says, screw you, Simon Schuster. I'm going to publish it myself. And he published the book himself. The book's okay. It's fine. It's funny. It's good. But, you know, it's irreverent would be the way to put it. And Simon and Schuster, they had an editor on this. Well, the editor's notes have somehow been made public. And I wish I knew how, because this is it's here. This is off of a Washington Post article who publishes, you know, it's a Washington Post, okay? And I don't know where they don't say how this got out, how these edits, this editor's remarks came out, but they did. And some of these are hilarious, okay? So let me give you an example of one of them. Let's see. A comparison Yiannopoulos makes equating Hollywood and Nazis is excised. I don't like using Nazi analogies, the editor writes, ever. Let other people do that. There's a joke here that Yiannopoulos makes, and it says, listen to this comment. This will be a highly scrutinized chapter. Try to remove all bombast and name calling. All bombast. That's all Yiannopoulos is. I mean, my goodness, all this guy does. Here's one. It says, delete irrelevant and superfluous ethnic joke. He writes in one comment. The ethnic joke that Yiannopoulos made was, he made an analogy, and I can't. It's not here now. That's interesting. They may have edited this while I was reading it, because they actually had a picture of the joke, and it looks like the Washington Post removed it. Anyway, it says that it's like trying to tell a taxi driver that curry is not a deodorant. And so that's pretty funny. Here's another one. Use another word here, one comment reads, when the editor crossed out the word cuck, a favorite in the lexicon of the new far right. Anyway, this editor now is under fire because from the left. He's under fire from the left. And the reason is, I just found the picture of the ethnic joke. Okay, it's still here. They didn't get rid of it. But anyway, he's under fire from the left because they say that he knew what they were getting into with this guy, and they were still going to publish him. So this guy is still a jerk. The left is crazy, dude. Trump really has made them go. He's either made them go bananas, or they were always bananas, and the press is now just giving them more coverage than before. I mean, these guys are nuts. All right, so they hate this editor now, because even though he tried to tone Milo down, they said that you knew what Milo was like and you were still going to publish him, even though they didn't. And now, so they're calling for his head. They want him to get fired. All right. Now, I don't know if you guys, so switching gears now, but I am staying on the topic of leftists or bananas this year. If anyone knows Cenk Uygur, Kyle Kulinski, and another dude, but anyway, there is a group called Justice Democrats, and this is a group that is trying to get the Bernie Sanders type candidates elected, and they've actually been pretty successful so far. They've gotten several candidates elected, and they have got a lot of candidates in the wings, and they've been doing very well. And you know, these candidates, they promise a lot of free stuff, so they defeat the establishment candidates, who can only go so far before people go, you're a communist, they don't like that label. And against the Republicans can't do that, because that would go against their base. And a lot of the Democrat wins have been from these types of candidates, because basically, like I said, they promise a lot of free stuff, and they defeat the establishment Democrat candidate, who is, I guess you could say, more in the middle. Although, you know, all Democrats are kind of a little bananas, right? They're all a little communist, a little socialist. So you have these Justice Democrats, and they are rocking, right? They're doing well. Well, the Democrats are fractured into so many little parties, until so many little these schisms, right? And one of them, these SJWs, the Social Justice Warriors, they're hijacking everything because they're loud, right? They're loud and they're demanding. They get a lot of coverage, a lot of news coverage, and they basically shame Democrats into not being like them. They're huge virtue signalers. That's the word. Their whole life revolves around virtue signaling, showing how great they are, what good people they are. All Democrats are like that, and the SJWs make other are so much like that that they make other Democrats ashamed for not being as virtue signally as they are. Well, the SJW wing of the Justice Democrats has infiltrated them by eliminating their most popular figureheads. So Cenk Uygur, who is the one of the founders of a hugely popular internet show, The Young Turks, and Kyle Kulinski, the head of another popular internet show, a Secular Talk. Both of these guys are gone now from the Justice Democrats, the group that gets progressive Democrats elected, because of things that Cenk Uygur wrote years ago. I'm talking like a long time ago, okay? When he was like a kid, all right? So he deleted these posts like 10 years ago. I think he wrote them 15 or 20 years ago. They were deleted 10 years ago. Well, apparently somebody dug them up, and now he's out because he said things like, what did he say? He said something like, I'm in Miami, and there's boobs everywhere, like water, and I'm dying of thirst. Like, so that's one of the things that he said. Look, they're juvenile, all right? He said a bunch of juvenile things. I think he also said something along the lines of, if the girl doesn't sleep with him on the third date, she's out of here. His defense for it, by the way, just to show that all Democrats are kind of a little dumb, his defense for it was that those are things that he wrote when he was a conservative. Oh, man. Would a conservative write that stuff normally? Really? I thought conservatives are very conservative, right? I mean, wouldn't they stay away from that kind of stuff? Anyway, he's out. He resigned, all right, because of he said to the group, please accept my apology, and if you don't accept it, then I'll leave. And the Justice Democrats, basically the staff there, said, no, you need to go. We need to make an example that we are good people, and that and so you're out. And he said, okay, I'll leave. I'll help you from the outside. Cenk Uygur's politics are terrible, but you know what? The way he responded to this was very, very good. Okay, so then Kyle Kulinski says, I can't be with a group who feels that someone can't change. I think he was their treasurer or something. And he says, I can't stay with a group who doesn't believe that someone can change and who has no flexibility, even for somebody who genuinely apologized and through their works showed that they support the causes that they now speak of. So he left. So their two or three most popular people are gone. And their founders are gone. Basically executed by the social justice warriors of this group. You know, I mean, and this is this is the left eating itself, right? The snake devouring it, Ouroboros or something, the snake just devouring itself. You know, the conservatives used to be this way, right? The conservatives used to have, their slogan was character counts, character counts. And basically, this is the reason why you can't really get a good president, right? The best BSer becomes president. Trump is the exception to the rule, although not really because he's a huge BSer. But he's a lovable BSer, right? He's a hype man. Multiple divorces, so he is really the exception to the rule. And I think that people just went, you know, we've been trying to elect the perfect person forever. We haven't gotten anyone who's good in there. Let's just go nuts and elect Donald Trump president and just see what happens. And the fact that the American people voted for this guy is driving everyone bananas. Let's not pretend that the Republicans haven't gone a little crazy too, all right? I mean, they're finally coming around to the idea that maybe this Russian conspiracy garbage isn't real. But getting back to the original topic, the Justice Democrats are probably done. I've been looking at their Twitter and at the groups that associate with them, and they all say that they're not funding them anymore. They don't want their money to go to a bunch of SJWs. So I think this is bad overall for the Democrats, because they'll get less of them elected. Nobody likes the Hillary-style Democrats anymore, do they? I mean, the press and the celebrity love them, but I don't think any regular person does. Well, when you screw over your most popular candidate, when Bernie Sanders is truly facing a really rigged election, not the fake Russia rigged election, but an actually rigged election, you're going to make your base annoyed, and they're splintered now. Anyway, this is good news for the conservatives, I think, and man, I'm just laughing at these guys, just laughing at them. All right, let's see what else we got here. How about we end the year with some Trump, huh? I mean, he's been dominating all year. Let's get some Trump news going. Let's see if we can find some fake news, some real news. So during the week, I'll just Google Trump or go on Yahoo and just see what the stories are that the media is running. Now, these are not cherry-picked. These are the stories that actually come up. And here's one. This one is from, what day is this? From Thursday. All right, let's see. Trump, Washington stays close to home. Trump in Washington stays close to home is the headline of this story. And let's see what the, I know this is going to be great. Because that sounds innocent, right? Trump, comma, in Washington, comma, stays close to home. So that's the headline of this story. Seems innocuous, right? Washington, AP, Associated Press. After living in Washington for nearly a year, President Donald Trump has yet to enjoy a single non-working meal at a restaurant that doesn't pay him rent. He hasn't taken in a performance at the Kennedy Center, hasn't been to a sporting event, hasn't toured most of the sites. And then they have a quote here. I would say that Trump has been the least present of any of the most recent presidents. This is great. It's not just this. And that quote was a Democratic member of the Washington, D.C. City Council since 1999. His name is Phil Mendelson, the person who made that quote. It's not just restaurants, says Mendelson. Trump has been less engaged on the local charity circuit than any other recent presidents, with no stops at local food banks or to help elementary school reading drives. I mean, can they stop bashing this guy? Let's see. Also from Thursday. I don't even know what this headline, what this story is, right? I skim it and I say I'm going to read it on the show. President Trump is America's second most admired man, poll finds. So that sounds good, right? I mean, he's well admired. You hear that his popularity is in the toilet. And then out comes this headline saying that he is the second most admired. And then it says here, Trump's unpopularity is holding him back from winning the most admired distinction, Gallup Jeffrey Jones said Wednesday. So they could spin every single story. And then it says here that Barack Obama is the most popular and that Hillary Clinton is the most popular woman. Okay. So let's see what else we got here. This is from Wednesday. All right, Wednesday. Let's see what we got on this story. Here's the headline. Donald Trump is, quote, run criminal enterprise out of the White House, unquote, says former U.S. governor. Guys, I'm just typing in Trump on this stuff, okay? This is just what's coming up. This is Howard Dean. Howard Dean is crazy. Of course he would say something like that. And is there a story here? I don't even see. Oh, there's a video. So there's no text to this story. The only quote of the story is Donald Trump is, quote, running a criminal enterprise out of the White House, unquote, a former U.S. governor has claimed. So that's all we get. Jeez. All right, let's see. Also from Wednesday. Tiffany and Ivanka Trump mocked for filtered video. The Trump celebrated Christmas in Florida this year. Tiffany Trump posted a video of her and her sister, Ivanka, that receives a lot of controversy on Twitter. And then it just goes on to basically have quotes that bash Tiffany and Ivanka Trump. They put a photo of them just basically making little faces at the camera. They weren't even doing anything. You know, this is really disgusting. I mean, this is journalism in the United States today, almost 2018, but in 2017, last couple of days here, this is what we're faced with. This is how the news reports stories. This is bananas and useless. It's useless. It's not even good storytelling. The press is now the National Enquirer. It's a news story. You think Newsweek, right? Reputable organization. Nope. Hasn't been in a little while. Oops, this is their headline. Oops, with an exclamation point. Ivanka Trump vacation photo has Confederate flag on boat behind Jared Kushner. This is by ace reporter Jessica Kwong is written this. Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? On the morning after Christmas, first daughter Ivanka Trump tweeted photos of her husband Jared Kushner and son on a boat with the caption, "This fish is a trophy." But many Twitter users were more interested in something in the background, a Confederate flag. I mean, their reporting on Twitter is like the main source of all of these stories. This is ridiculous. So Ivanka Trump puts out this tweet with four photos on it and says, "To any kid, this fish is a trophy," as a couple of emojis or whatever they're called. The controversial symbol, here's the story now. The controversial symbol of the Confederacy can be seen on a boat in the distance behind Kushner's left shoulder, displayed alongside the American flag. Twitter users quickly attacked the first daughter, since President Trump, her father, has a history of defending Confederate statues. Couldn't find four photos without one? Or is this a dog whistle? Tweeted Walter Schaub, who is director of the Office of Government Ethics under former President Barack Obama. Wow. Wow. So every story on here is nothing but a trashy hit piece on the president and or his family. Is amazing. Do we have time for one more? Let's go back one more day. Let's go back to Tuesday. Unbelievable. Melania Trump slammed for incredibly tacky Christmas selfie. Melania Trump is taking a picture of herself looking at the camera with this kind of genie-like, Charo-like expression, I guess. I mean, she's just got like this ooh expression. And here's a couple of quotes here. Unreal. "Disgraceful for a first lady, Christmas or not. You look like a model on a photo shoot on the front page of Hustler. I'm sure the elderly and the poor will appreciate this photo given how you and your hubby don't care about them. Only your millionaire friends at Mar-a-Lago." Wow. You know, of all the things to be thankful for in 2017, I think not being a full-on liberal has got to be at the top of the list. Maybe second. It's health, family. I'm thankful for my health, thankful for my family, thankful I'm not a liberal. There you go. Those are the top three. Should I have put family number one? Let me know. Edman@email.com and share any thoughts that you have with me online. Have a happy new year, everybody. Thanks for joining me for that.